Welcome back in. Hour number two of Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Brought to you by Little Guys Movers. Here's your chance to be your own boss. Join their team of 30-plus years of profits and good times. Visit littleguysfranchise.com. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Michelle Knezvik here with you on this Thursday morning in Nashville, Tennessee. Taking your thoughts on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. Joe, a decent night for the Predators last night. Dallas loses again, so you've drawn even in games played with the Stars, and now you're 2 points up on them. Vegas wins last night against Washington in overtime, 4-3 the final score in that game. So that's a big win for Vegas. If they lose that game last night, they're in deep, deep trouble at that point. So they win the game against Washington. Their playoff odds on MoneyPuck.com, I think yesterday Vegas was around, I think it was 13.7%. With the win last night and with the Dallas loss, it's up to 28% for Vegas now. Dallas was in the 90s yesterday and now has dropped down to 78.7. Preds were at 97 yesterday on our show. They're now at 96.9. So ooh, they've dropped a tenth of a percentage.
Vegas chopped a tenth of percentage off there. yeah, well, look, I think the Caps had 1-0 and 2-1 leads in that game, so they, I mean, that would have really made things tough on Vegas. Vegas keeps it interesting, keeps themselves alive, had to have it, had to have the 2 points, not just 1 point, and they got the 2 points. So interesting, of course, you know, the big, we've talked about this, but you know, you got Vegas and Dallas playing
next week
coming up, and you're probably, as the Preds, I mean, it's good for you, you know, Dallas losing that game is helpful. I think, again, I think the best case scenario by a decent margin is being the first wild card and having Calgary, not Colorado. You think the Preds will be better off with Colorado? That's fine.
I didn't say that.
But you're less bullish on Calgary would be better for them. I don't know, man. I think Colorado might just tear some people up this spring. We'll see. I could be wrong, but I think this might be the year that they just say bleep it and kick a lot of butt.
That was suggested last year.
It was, and now they're going to take it to heart.
Stars play again tonight. They play Calgary tonight on the second half of back-to-back. So, I mean, this could get pretty interesting for the Stars. You lose this game tonight against Calgary. I know you've got Seattle at home on Saturday. You should win that game, although I will say Seattle just beat Colorado last night, so they've got the capability of doing it. But the big game, outside of the games that the Predators are playing, and we'll get to that coming up here in just a few seconds, but outside of the Predators' games that they need to take care of business themselves, there are going to be a lot of eyes here next week as the Predators are taking on Calgary at home at Bridgestone Arena, Vegas and Dallas playing in Dallas at 7:30. That's going to be a pretty big game that I think locals around here will pay lots of attention to.
Yeah, very much. It's such a – we've talked about the condensed schedule. You know, you get these all these days off right now. I mean, the Preds better be like in oxygen chambers and, you know, in bubble wrap here this week, because once they get going Saturday, you know, it's 5 games, 7 days. You hope that it doesn't, like, the very end is not absolute urgency. You hope that you're at least in by then, but who knows? And it's just amid all that, you have Calgary coming right back to town. So, it's just a weird schedule, and now the Preds are going to know a lot more by the time they take the ice again. I mean, they just, you know, they're gonna have a much better sense. They can't think about that. They've tried to beat Tampa Bay, which, by the way, just lost to the Red Wings. So, there's some teams right now that are just sort of playing out the string, getting ready for the playoffs, and you hope that's the kind of approach that Tampa Bay takes Saturday. But you're going to have a better sense for where you are by the time you get to that game.
Well, I'm starting to sense a little bit of frustration from John Cooper, coach of the Lightning. I mean, they lost to Dallas last week, and they had been struggling really up until that point. And then they got, you know, win against Anaheim, win against Winnipeg, and then you lost again to Detroit. And John Cooper, after the game, was basically like, hey, we're going to have to kick this thing into gear. So maybe not great timing for the Predators coming in to – now, they play Toronto tonight, so I think we'll see what happens on that front. Big one between the Lightning and the Leafs tonight. And you look at the standings in the East right now, that would be the first round playoff matchup, would be Lightning Leafs. So
but
congratulations, Toronto.
Yeah, exactly. But Boston is a point behind. So if you're Tampa Bay, I've got to think you'd much rather play the Leafs than play the Hurricanes, right? Would you be playing the Hurricanes?
Yes.
Yeah, you'd be playing the Hurricanes. I mean, you would prefer the Leafs, right?
I would think so. I mean,
I understand there will be
those that make
the
argument of Matthews can take over a game or two by himself, which I get, but Carolina, as we know around here, they're just so good top to bottom, and they've got a pretty darn good head coach too.
Well, by the way, and I say this, and the Rangers,
they're right there,
are tied with Carolina at the top.
Their goalie is,
yeah, that's a heck of a. That's a heck of a run they've been on here. So there's a ton still to figure out. So I would think, though, there'd be some motivation for Tampa Bay. Bottom line, you know, they I think you're going to be motivated here to win and keep that three spot and not drift into wild card territory.
JC in Goodlettsville texting in says, Styles make a fight in boxing and in hockey playoffs as well. The Preds' heavy-hitting style gives a great chance to win any long series. Would relish playing Calgary, Minnesota. The bad matchup is Edmonton, and the other concerns are Colorado and St. Louis. If the Preds stay healthy, they should make a deep run. This is coming from JC from Goodlettsville.
Yeah, so, that's a very optimistic view. I mean, I don't want to make too much of one regular season game, but the Edmonton game, to me, was okay. You may like to hit people, but if you can't catch them in there, like that pass is to the next guy before you get to him again and again and again, then what's that? Now, I understand in the playoffs, things are different, and Edmonton has not flourished in that style, so maybe that'll be the case again. But I watched that game, and I was like, they're so fast.
Well, when you're playing a team like that in the playoffs, it requires you, if your style is – you know, to be physical and to hit and to play that way, which I'm not saying the Predators can't skate. I mean, I think they're a decent speed team, but they're not certainly as fast as Connor McDavid and the Edmonton Oilers. When you play against a team like that, you have to be pretty much perfect with the puck, and that is making the right decision of when to bring it in the zone, making the right decision to make the boring play and chip it in and then go get it, because a key to beating a team like that is – don't let them get going and just roll over them on your forecheck. And they never even approached a forecheck the last time that Edmonton was in here. So,
yeah.
I mean, Edmonton took them totally out of their game.
Right. So you don't want to read too much against one game. Edmonton's playing really well in general right now.
They're
thumping
very good
people. And they're 8-1-1 in their last 10. You know, they're taking it to people. But it's also, see, they're like that team. It's like sometimes you get fooled by like the team in the NCAA tournament who wins their conference tournament. Like, oh, Iowa. Oh, Iowa's in my Final Four.
Yes.
I still look at Edmonton with a lot of suspicion. I raise the eyebrow a little bit.
I look at Toronto the same way. I mean, they've been really good all year long. But until I see them do it in the playoffs, I'm like, okay, well, you're going to have to show me.
They are the Canadian parallels, you know, west and east. Of like, you have to eye them with major suspicion until they actually do it in the postseason.
Well, and to the Predators' point of view, I mean, I agree with JC to a certain extent. Like, I think the longer a series goes on, the way that the Predators play the game can wear down on other teams. I also think that Calgary can play the same way. I think that St. Louis can play the same way if you want them to. Quite frankly, I think Colorado can play the same way. Like, Colorado's not a small team. Now, they're not – I wouldn't say they're as physical as the Predators are, but they're not – small by any stretch of the imagination. So I agree with JC. I like the way that the Preds style could play to their advantage as the series goes on. Problem is, especially in Calgary's case, like I think they play the exact same way the Predators do. So who has the advantage in that? I don't know, but I don't think the Preds style of play is as big of an advantage against certain teams in the West.
Well, I think it'd be a really good series. I think Nashville-Calgary could be a really good series. And if you like that playoff hockey, which you should, then you should like watching that series. If that's what's – does Money Puck do percentage chances of particular series happening? Or is that asking too much of Money Puck?
It appears to be asking too much of Money Puck, but I can see if I can figure that out. I'm sure
somebody does that, right? I'd be into that series. It'd probably come down to Markstrom and Soros, right?
If you want to go Money Puck chances, it's got – the Predators right now with a 24% chance to make the second round of the playoffs. So Money Puck apparently doesn't like their matchup either, whether it's Colorado or Calgary.
That's still not a terrible number.
No.
It's not bad.
No. Colorado's at 77.3. Calgary's at 75.4 to make it to the second round. So there you go.
Okay. It's just interesting that you would actually even have that without knowing who the heck you're playing, right?
I guess
they're just making this crap up, aren't they?
Could be. We'll continue the conversation on the Predators. Welcome more of your thoughts on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025. Have you ever wanted to see inside the Preds locker room? Well, don't miss your chance coming up on Saturday, April 23rd at the Smashville Open House. All fans can sign up for a chance to shoot on net to win two lower-level half-season tickets, and you'll have your first chance to pick your seats for 2022-2023 season. Plus, complimentary popcorn and Coca-Cola products, as well as 50% off of all their food and beverage. You can save 30% off of all Stadium Series merchandise at Nashville Locker Room. They'll have inflatables, balloon artists, and face painting for kids as well. So don't miss your chance to secure seats for the 22-23 season and guarantee access to every home playoff game this season with significant savings as well. Check out the Smashville Open House coming up this Saturday at Bridgestone Arena. You're listening to Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game, streaming live on Twitch, Twitter, YouTube, and Facebook. Our video streaming brought to you by the law offices of Amanda Gentry. Don't miss Nashville's best NFL draft coverage starting at 5 o'clock on Thursday, April 28th and Friday, April 29th on 102.5 The Game, presented by Social Furniture, Apple Collision Centers, Farm Bureau Health Plans, and the Nashville Sheriff's Office. Be sure to join us on site as 102.5 The Game will be broadcasting live on Thursday, April 28th from 3rd and Home, Germantown's Bar with a Ballpark. You can watch all of our live coverage of the NFL draft via 102.5 The Game's Twitch, Facebook page, YouTube, and Twitter. Talking Preds, taking your thoughts on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. I'm interested on Saturday, let's say McCarron's back in there, what the lineup looks like, who comes out of the lineup, whether that's Cody Glass, or do you take maybe a Luke Cunningham or Ellie Tolvin out of the lineup. If I had to bet, I guess it would be Cody Glass coming out of the lineup with McCarron coming back in, but I do like the way that Glass has played coming down the stretch here. It's got to be an interesting challenge here for John Hines. If you want to obviously take care of the most important thing, and that is winning hockey games right now and getting yourself into the playoffs, but also while you're doing that, searching for combos that work and maybe what those combos could look like come playoff time, because you know, as important as it is to win and get in there, I also don't think that you want to just throw something out there and try it, and the first game that you do that is game one of a playoff series. Like, I think you want to have an idea of what your lineup looks like heading into that.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah. It's an interesting balance right now, and there's specific matchups in a particular game and, you know, trying to figure out what works best. You have to get in. You have to focus on that. But then, like you said, it'd be great to have some continuity. You know, like the Herd line, they're going to have continuity. I think all the talk that I've warmed to about, you know, moving Janot somewhere is not going to happen. But I agree. I think McCarron will be a nice addition for the Preds to get him back in there. I liked how he was playing. I'm assuming it's Cody Glass. Be a little bit of an upset, wouldn't it, if he's not the one who comes out?
I think it would be an upset. I mean, look, if they took Luke Cunningham out, you wouldn't hear me complaining. I mean, I've expected more from him this year, and it's not really happened at this point. So, I don't know exactly what they're going to do. My guess is it would be Cody Glass, but it is kind of amazing we're having this conversation about Michael McCarron. Like, after the way he played last year, I was just like, okay, he's a guy. Been pretty good this year when he's been in there. Former first-round pick.
Yeah.
Big sexy.
Well, a year ago, Tanner, as you know, was like, Who the heck is this kid? Oh, okay. Wow. Congratulations, Tanner. Enjoy your couple games in the NHL.
Yeah. You
never know. McCarron, big physical guy.
Yeah, no question about that. And that is something that John Hines loves. So I'm interested, like, from Preds fans. Let's say they get in this year, and they're taking on Calgary or Colorado, and they're going to be heavy underdogs either way that series turns out in terms of the expectations on the outside. Like, if the Predators if they get in the playoffs, have they already exceeded expectations from the Preds fan base this year? Like, what's the, I guess, the excitement level about this group, or, you know, how you view this team's future if they're out in the first round this year against either Colorado or Calgary? Obviously, if they win against one of those two teams, then we're having a much different discussion at that point. But let's say they make the playoffs, and right now we just read off the odds. They've got like a 25% chance, according to MoneyPuck.com, to advance to the second round, which we know really means nothing at the end of the day, but that's what the odds are. If the Predators, if it plays out that way and they get to the playoffs and they're out in the first round, are fans happy with the direction of the team? Are they excited about the future? Are they disappointed that you had all these guys have a career year and you're out in the first round? I'm interested to see what the response would be there.
Has Forsberg signed by then? Well, you can't. I don't think you can answer the question without that. Can you?
Yeah. I don't think so.
So, but if you isolate that, see, if you go back to the beginning and tell fans that, then they'd be like, oh, okay, wow, that's great. That's encouraging. I didn't think that would happen. But you change expectations during a season, too. And the Preds raised them with how they played in the first half. So I think, I mean, the fans who are real fans, that's short for fanatic, they're along for the whole ride. So I think there'd be a lot of disappointment if they got in and just, like, lost in five games to somebody. You know, some people, the Sunshine Blowers, are going to be, they're going to be like, hey, we didn't think we're going to make the playoffs and the future's bright, you know. But I think more fans than that would be disappointed. I think a lot of people are waiting to say, I told you so. This just isn't, this core isn't a core that's going to take you where you want to go. You're just sort of treading water and so on and so forth. And they may be right.
That could be. I mean, to your point, the Forsberg part of this is a big thing. And it was interesting. I mean, David Poile was on with Darren Donick and Chase the other day. And there's not really much of an update. Basically, he said he wanted to keep the in-person meeting between himself and J.P. Barry, who is Forsberg's agent, kind of in-house there. But, I mean, he did say if they get to the playoffs and it's this thing isn't figured out yet, that negotiations would probably be put on pause at that point. So, I mean, that's not necessarily abnormal. I think that happens most of the time when the playoffs are a part of this thing. But, I mean, if I'm a Predators fan, I want every discussion you can possibly have between now and free agency to get this thing figured out if I'm a Predators fan and Philip Forsberg. And let's say they do go on a run in the playoffs. That probably helps your chances of re-signing him, I guess, if he's looking at the future and competitiveness of this team and eventually the dollar amount gets figured out. But, you know, what happens if they go on a run to, like, late May? You've got, at that point, then, like, a month to figure things out with yourself and Forsberg. I don't know. It's interesting.
Yeah.
I'm still kind of shocked it's not done yet.
Yeah, me too. And I do think that if you, once the playoffs begin, and I made this point yesterday on Jared versus Joe. You know, once you get to the playoffs, there are way more people start, you know, cover that stuff and participate in things. And in theory, you should have more availability too. I know we're still sort of in this kind of weird situation with access and all that stuff for various leagues and teams and everything, but I think it becomes a bigger distraction potentially if he's still not signed and you get into the playoffs, you know? And I just, do I think that's going to, you know, affect his play or their play? No. I don't think it's directly going to affect it, but it's still one of those things that you would much rather not have as any kind of storyline. You'd much rather just have it done and taken care of before you get into that. But clearly, there's something that just can't be overcome here right now. And I think especially on the Pred side, very, very motivated, as David Poile said weeks ago, to figure this out, come to the table, get it done. Hasn't been done. So more and more, I just wonder if there's just something that's, and maybe it's not a number anymore. Maybe it's the trade protection thing now. I don't know. But I wonder if it can get done. And if it can't, then that, you know, then the answer to your question, I don't know what people are really going to, if they, unless they win the cup and then they lose Forsberg, then people will be happy. Yeah. And they're fine with that. You know? But short of that, whatever you do, okay, now, by the way, your best forward's gone.
Yeah.
Thanks. How are people feeling good about that?
Probably not feeling good.
And they shouldn't.
No. Does Forsberg need to hop on, like, sabotage somebody's Instagram Live? Just get on there, like, A.J. Brown style, just let other people talk?
I'm for it. Yeah. I'm like, but it could be, like, in Swedish, so we'd have
to. Could be.
Yeah. Have to translate. It. Yeah. The Insta Live in Sweden.
We'll continue to take your thoughts on the Predators on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. Coming up next, we think we're going to be joined by Predators assistant coach Dan Hynote. That's on the other side. This is Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game, brought to you by Little Guys Movers. Here's your chance to be your own boss. Join their team of 30-plus years of profits and good times. Visit littleguysfranchise.com. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Michelle Knezovic here with you on this Thursday morning in Nashville, Tennessee. And we go to our 102.5 The Game phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, and welcome in Predators assistant coach Dan Lambert. Dan, what's going on? How are we doing?
Doing great this morning. How are you guys doing?
We're great. Appreciate you taking time to be with us. So, Dan, obviously, big win for your group the other night against Calgary. What do you think your team is right now as they head into what's coming up on the last full week of the regular season and things are getting real tight in the standings as well?
Yeah, I mean, that was the last, I think it was our ninth game in 15 days, and I thought, you know, it was a real good game for us. Obviously Calgary was on a back-to-back, so they might have been a little fatigued as well, but it was a good character win for us, and obviously every point really matters at this point in the season, and the guys were very solid. I thought it was probably our best full 60-minute game in a while, to be honest with you.
So, Dan, it's a really interesting situation. Probably not ideal. I would assume if you guys could move maybe one of those last five games up a bit, you would do it. It's going to be very condensed here, 5 games in 7 days to finish, starting Saturday at Tampa Bay. So I would imagine there's a high priority put on, like, maximizing the rest for this little stretch. How are you guys dealing with this as a coaching staff, these few days before the next game?
Yeah, so, I mean, yesterday was a day off for everyone, and you know, when you look at our schedule, what we've just been through, we haven't had a whole lot of practice time, so we're going to have a short skate just to work on a few things this morning, and then another one tomorrow before heading out to Tampa Bay, so just to get out there and work on a few things that, you know, obviously when you play this many games, things kind of start sometimes getting a little rusty. So, you know, we feel good heading into Tampa. I think these days off will be really good for us. Obviously, it's another grind for the next week, but that's the way it is, and we're really fortunate that we're playing meaningful hockey at this time of the season.
Dan, we had Ryan Johansson on the show yesterday, and we talked about the power play and how consistent it's been really from start to finish so far this year, and obviously, he gave you a lot of credit for that as well. From your eyes, just what have you seen on the power play that's allowed you guys to be really consistent in the top 10 from basically the beginning of the season until now?
Well, you know what? It's credit to the guys that are out there. They've really not just bought in, but I think they really became a unit. I'm talking about, you know, Ryan Johansson's unit of Yossi, Forsberg, Granlund, and Duchesne. I just feel like they, all season long, they've been very unpredictable to the opposition, which was one of our goals, and I think they've done a phenomenal job. Obviously, you know, there's a lot of guys on that first unit that have a lot of confidence right now, and confidence does a lot of great things when you're an athlete, and I think they're feeling it right now, and it's a credit to them. They've done a great job, and it's been, you know, I think where we've really changed is our puck recoveries. We've always taken a lot of shots. It's just been a matter of having a lot of traffic and then having those second and third opportunities from the puck recoveries, and I think that they've done a good job of that.
Dan, Cody Glass, most of the year in Milwaukee, has had an opportunity here, seems to be taking advantage of it pretty well. I know, of course, Michael McCarron also is getting healthier, maybe back in the lineup here soon. But what have you seen from Cody Glass, and what's his staying power at this point?
Well, Cody had gone through a couple of years of a lot of injuries and obviously COVID like everybody else. I was fortunate or unfortunate to coach against Cody an awful lot in junior hockey before I got here. He was in Portland, I was in Spokane, and he was a dominant player. And the one thing that I'm seeing from him now that I saw a few years ago is he's doing things a lot more urgent, a lot quicker. He's on pucks, he's tenacious. He has the ability to make plays, and he's made really great, subtle little puck plays that are one of his strengths. So I think he's starting to, and he's confident as well, having spent and having a real good season in Milwaukee. So we're really proud the way he's progressed here over the season. And it's one of those things where, when a guy's gone through injuries, it's impossible for his game to be at 100%, especially at the age of 22 that he is. So we feel good about him, and he's done a real good job here in the last few games that he's played for us.
Preds assistant coach Dan Lambert on the line with us, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. And Dan, a really cool moment in the building the other night. Matt Duchene scores his 40th goal of the season, first player in franchise history to hit that number. Just from your eyes watching him play, Forsberg's right behind him at 39, just the significance of that number in this league, and for you guys to potentially, if Phillip scores another one, to have two guys to reach that number.
Yeah, it's pretty impressive. You know, there's when you hit that 40 mark, there's a lot of great players in this league that never do score 40 in a season, and Matt's done an unbelievable job, and hopefully Phil gets to 40 as well. But I think. And them playing on the same line, you really notice chemistry this year that maybe in the past hasn't been as prevalent. And I think they've done a phenomenal job of, I think the communication that happens on the bench as well, they're always talking to each other. Hey, I was open there, and hey, find me, this pocket's open. Or it's really good to see, and I think that's what great players do. And it's obviously a great season for Matt and Phil as well, and we're really proud and happy for him.
Dan, you said earlier that the Calgary game was, maybe the best overall game in a bit. What specifically out of that game do you want to make sure carries over here Saturday and down the stretch?
Well, when you look at Calgary's offense, one of their strengths is how dangerous they are on the rush, and that's in the game against St. Louis, we thought we had a really good first period. And then in the second period, we got away from taking away their rush game. And we saw what happened there. It wasn't pretty. So it was a focus for us. And against a really high potent team, we were able to do that. So it's something we got to continue to focus on and do, because heading to Tampa, it's no different there. Their rush game is very, very dangerous. So we've got to do a good job, and typically that's managing the puck through the neutral zone and making sure that guys are tracking back as hard as they can.
Well, Dan, we appreciate you taking time to join us this morning. Good luck coming up on Saturday against Tampa Bay, and we'll talk to you down the road.
Thank you very much, gentlemen.
Absolutely. Thanks, Dan. Dan Lambert, our guest here on Robbie and Rex Road, Preds assistant coach. It is interesting to get his thoughts on, he did coach against Cody Glass at the junior level, and there's a reason he got drafted sixth overall. He's pretty darn good in junior hockey. So, obviously, when the Ryan Ellis trade was made, that's the guy you're looking for if you're David Poile, in terms of we want that guy that was drafted sixth overall. It's been a slow kind of journey for Cody Glass to get to this point. Obviously, in the future, you hope he's a middle six guy for you, maybe a top six guy for you in your lineup. But I have been impressed by what I've seen from him since he's come back up. Now, do I think that he's all of a sudden going to be some offensive force for the Predators coming down the stretch here? Probably not, but he's at least pretty noticeable out there now with the physical game. He's in on the forecheck. He's creating some chances, whereas I thought he was pretty far off when the regular season began. It's been pretty good for him to go down there to Milwaukee this year.
Yeah, and I feel like it's, you know, I mean, like it's encouraging big picture long term to see progress and to see, you know, a positive response to going not down but up to Milwaukee.
Yeah,
or do you say down since it's down a level?
You could say down.
Yeah, I guess it's
geographically it's up.
It's geographically up. It's
quality of hockey. It's down.
Right. So okay, we'll say going down to Milwaukee. You know, Kevin Fiala didn't like going to Milwaukee at times.
Not.
But Kevin Fiala, I don't know that Cody Glass is going to be producing what Kevin Fiala is at any point. But I think you know, there's some hope there. I just is there a need to use him now to like is he playing well enough to actually make them think about keeping him in there moving forward here?
I don't know. That's an interesting question. I'm interested to see too, like their skate today, their practice. You know, he used the term short skate. Like Joel Quenneville, the Blackhawks, there was some times where they'd have like a 15-minute practice. He'd just get out there and like do some laps and then get back in the locker room. It'll probably be longer than that for the Predators day, but I'm interested to see if it's like a 30-minute skate. You got to take advantage of this rest too.
Yeah. Well, it sounds like it's very focused on some specific stuff too. So I would think it'd be a little longer than that, but it won't be like, you know, the miracle.
You're not going to backskate him?
Yeah.
Probably not. We'll continue to take your thoughts on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025. The Rex Rant with Joe Rexroad coming up next as well. As always, we encourage your participation, 615-737-1025. Make every day a good old day with hand-cranked taste of Blue Bell ice cream. I love me some Blue Bell ice cream. It reminds me of the good old days, really reminds me of home. The good old days are being made right now. Make sure you pick up your Blue Bell ice cream and enjoy it with the weather getting warmer this spring and summer. This is Robbie and Rexroad. You're on ESPN 102.5 The Game.
The time is now for the Rex Rant.
Sounds like somebody's got a case of the Mondays.
On Robbie and Rex Road, here on ESPN, 102.5 The Game, and the Game Nashville app.
I'm still parked out by the lake.
And it is that time of the day. Time for the Rex Rant here on Robbie and Rex Road.
You seem to really love this song, Michelle. What is it?
I have no idea. I just know that you hate it. So then
How do you know? You don't know that.
Because I can see your face.
I don't hate every country song.
Do you like this song?
I mean, it's... No. I mean, whatever. But you don't know what it is? You just randomly pick, like, it just says, like, country song, and you just hit the
button? When Ryan Porth created all of these, it just says Rex Rant, and then it'll have, like, a little blurb next to it. It'll say... You know, we've got the Blink 182 ones, we've got the Creed one, we've got Kokomo. They're all just down a list, so I just picked this one. I don't think I've ever done it.
What is that, Robbie?
I have no clue what this is.
Really?
Yeah.
This is just some, like, Ryan Porth
Look,
deep cut?
If this is country music beyond the year 2008, you're pretty much not going to catch me listening to it.
Uh-huh. See, there you go. And I saw you in there, by the way, Michelle, you know, mouthing the, ooh, someone's going to case you the Mondays, which is from the movie Office Space. Be my daily rant. I guess I'm going to go back to Jim on the text line, driven by WilsonCountyHunter.com. He said, he said, you know, we got your back on Office Space. Do your best impersonation, and I will. I'm going to need you to, I'm going to need you to stay late tonight and watch the movie. Yeah, that'd be great. Okay.
Well, I know who thanks. You're talking about there.
Yeah, see, you know the gif. You know the guy. Imagine how amazing the movie would be with him as a character in the movie.
That's Ricky Bobby's dad. Yep.
That's right. It is Ricky Bobby's dad. Yes. And also Mike Brady on the Brady movies. Yeah. And I don't know what the actor's name is. All right. So today going with a little bit of a parent rant, but not what you might think. So I see this all the time, and it's true. But it's also, this is a great example of, like, if you actually live an experience and go through it, how different. It's so easy to say something from the outside if you don't actually go through it and understand why something is the way it is. So that's very clear, right? I'm really making this clear. Jason Gay is a really good sports writer at the Wall Street Journal. In fact, I think he may be the only sports writer at the Wall Street Journal. He's really good. And he had, I don't know if this is something he's working on or whatever. This is just something I saw on Twitter yesterday. And I'm going to find it, and I'm going to read it exactly word for word. He said on Twitter yesterday, "I just spoke to a major college sports coach, and it's amazing, though not shocking, to hear them talk about how much they worry about specialization and value athletes playing a range of sports. Parents, there's no need to do one thing 11 months of the year!" ! And then after that tweet, there are a lot of friends of mine and various people who were like, "This is such a no-brainer, no duh." I'm just paraphrasing. Yes, obviously, like, why does this happen? And most of those people, I don't think, have kids in sports. So as someone who has had kids in sports for a long time, here's my tweeted response to that. Most people would agree specialization is bad. The problem is, if you aren't an elite athlete and you don't specialize, as you bounce from season to season, you will notice more and more kids ahead of you in each of those sports because they only do those sports. So this is the, I guess you could call it, a vicious cycle of sports specialization. But it's like there's a lot of things like this, I think, where it's like, clearly, like, this is wrong. Come on, just change it. Just do something different. It's like, okay, fine, but go through it then. And again, if you have a kid who's the best athlete, or just it can just go this sport, boom, you're one of the best, great. And frankly, those are the kids who are getting recruited. The problem is that everybody thinks their kid's going to get recruited.
Yeah.
Everybody wants their kid to get a scholarship. So that's part of the root issue, is parents who are desperate to get little Johnny or little Jill, the personal coach at age 3 to start working on the swing or whatever. So that's a root cause, but whatever it is, the reality is, if you're not one of those absolute top crust athletes, you are forced to specialize pretty early. You just are. And I've tried, I mean, I've been so against it. Katie and I have been like, no, you're playing, because, you know, there's so many, we know the issues. You use the same muscles over and over. You have a higher rate of injury. It's not as fun. There shouldn't be all this pressure on sports. It should be for fun. You should do different things. But again, you do that, and then you come back around to your friends in lacrosse. You come back around to your friends in basketball. It's like, gosh, this is all they do, and they are way better than me now. And you fall behind in everything if you don't make a choice early. It sucks, but whenever I see people say this stuff, it's like, okay, we all can agree on this, but tell me how you stop it. You're not doing these things in a vacuum. You're doing these things in a world that just forces you to make that choice early, unfortunately.
It's unfortunate, because I also think, I wonder how many kids that specialize early, whether because they want to, or their parents want to, or because they're forced to keep up. Like, I wonder how much burnout there is too, right? I mean, I know for me, I played a lot of baseball growing up, a lot. And it got to the point where I was playing pretty much year-round, other than maybe a couple of months in the wintertime when you couldn't play around here. But other than that, I mean, we started in January throwing, and then February we were scrimmaging, and then March we were playing, and we didn't stop playing until November. So, I mean, you're playing all year long at that point. And I can tell you about, like, my junior year, I was burnt out. I was like, I am tired of playing baseball. Like, I wonder how much that happens.
Yeah, I think it's a ton. I don't think it's, and for a lot of reasons, youth sports isn't as fun. I know it's, I say this stuff about social media too. Didn't have that, just was able to be a kid. Also, as a kid, we went outside and we played, and then you were in Little League, and you're bouncing. It's basketball season. It's football season. It's baseball season. And you're in Little Leagues, and you're playing school sports. And there's not this absolute, I mean, if your parents aren't paying good money for some kind of personal coach or something, you're not going to be. I mean, at this point, it's hard to find people who have any level of seriousness about a sport who, again, you have to have the means to do it, who aren't paying somebody to specifically coach their kids. And again, I'll raise my hand. We have done it too. So, I mean, I'm not, it's just hard to, like, the answer is when the market is a certain way, you either respond to it or you get left behind.
Yeah. I mean, I've always kind of had this thought in my head that, well, my kids are going to play multiple sports, and I'm sure they will to begin with, but at some point, unless you're like elite athlete, and you know, I mean, A.J. Brown's playing baseball, football, and right. He got drafted in baseball.
He's immediately the best player on whatever team he's on.
It doesn't matter what he's doing. Yeah. So,
of course.
I mean, when you have those guys and girls, it's different. But for most people, you might have to make a decision at some point.
Well, and as someone pointed out to me, Kyle Nanrip, who does a really good job for the Indy Star on Twitter, when I at that tweet, he's like, you're right about this. Also, most of the coaches who are out there saying we want kids to play different things are football coaches.
Yeah.
And that makes sense. I mean, you know, football coach, it's a good thing if you're a football coach, if you're playing, yeah, please run track. Or, yeah, I mean, a big man, like an offensive lineman who can play hoops, work on your feet, that's great. That's a sport where if you're doing different things, just staying in shape and doing it, then you can still be effective in football, right? Like, it's more specialized on the field.
Yep.
Some of it is just pure, I mean, it's brawn, understanding your assignment. But basketball coach, if you're not getting your shots up every day, all the time, you're not, like, you're just not going to be as good as the kids who are. Baseball coach, I mean, you got to be in the cage all the time, you know? So it depends on what the sport is in question, too. Look, I mean, we got a sixth grader, and I think she's probably going to be doing one sport from now.
Tennis?
Yeah, and that's fine. Like, it's not like she really wants to do other stuff. She's tried other stuff, hasn't really liked it. So that's fine. It's not, oh, my God, we're going to have the next great tennis player. It's just like she has other interests outside of sports, so that I still look at it as well-rounded.
Yeah.
But, you know, we went quite a ways with our ninth grader, and he's still doing two, but it's hard. And it is. You switch, especially switching to soccer.
Oh, yeah.
All they're doing is playing soccer, and you got to catch up now. It's hard.
Yeah, absolutely. We got a bonus rant on the text line. Two mutes.
And a bonus mute from me.
Mark from Ashland City has texted in with a Roy rant, because that's his middle name. Says, I'm ticked off at the people who are complaining about David Poyle and John Hines and the Preds being a fringe team. These are the same people who laughed at the term competitive rebuild. Wasn't competing and being in the playoffs above the expectations for this team before the season? I know they played well for a good stretch there in the middle of the season, but we always thought preseason this team was in transition. I get it. Yossi, Forsberg, Duchesne are all having great years, but whoever sees that and gets mad this is a fringe team is missing the big picture. If those guys weren't having those big years, where would the Preds be? We allowed their good stretch to change our expectations, and now they come back down to earth and we're mad about it. For some reason, that really bothers me. I'm glad this team is having success this year, because I was very worried in the preseason. This is from Mark.
Blow that sunshine, Mark. No, I think you make some good points, but you also have to understand that happens, right?
Yeah.
And it still is, if you don't completely blow something up in general, but you get good enough to be okay and sneak into the postseason. I mean, I think you can understand why over time a fan base wouldn't be happy about that, right?
Yeah.
Also, some people have put on the text line, it's parked out by the lake by Dean Summerwind. Apparently, this is actually, Rob says it's incredible. It's a satire making fun of country songs. But apparently, at one point I ripped on it. I talked about how it's so dumb because of the words.
So you actually do know it.
Well,
kind of.
I mean, I've listened to it one other time and ripped it and poor saved it. But if it's a satire of country songs, I apologize. It's my favorite country song now.
Coming up next, we'll be joined by David Ubben from The Athletic. We'll get his thoughts on NIL, how it's changing the college football landscape. Get his thoughts on Tennessee as well. Pro Golf coming to Nashville this May with the Simmons Bank Open. Text the keyword golf now to 615-737-1025 for a chance to win a weekend pass for four to enjoy the event in style, including food and drink, plus a Predators gift pack, including polo shirts, golf balls, and umbrella. Text golf now to 615-737-1025. This is Robbie and Rex Road. You're on ESPN 1025, The Game.